I would like to welcome all of you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord, and I wish you God's blessing. I believe that God will bless us in a special way today. We've put our trust not on ourselves, but on Him. And it is written, everyone who has put his trust in Him will not be put to shame. In this assurance, in this certainty of faith, we start today this service. For us, it's not a tradition, not a habit, but a privilege to be assembled in the presence of God, to hear His word, receiving it, what He has to say to us, being ready with all our hearts to respond to it. Many have heard already the word of God, and they are hearing it every Sunday anew, but a few are ready to respond to it, are ready to believe everything with the whole heart, what the Lord spoke. And for those who perhaps are here today for the first time, we would like to emphasize that the whole purpose of these meetings and services is simply therein that we assemble ourselves in the presence of God to hear His word, to get it revealed by the Holy Spirit, to experience God so that His word can be confirmed. This afternoon, in this confidence and in this assurance of faith, we want to start. And today, we are doing it by praying together. And this service we will dedicate to God by prayer. And I ask you to consider that everything for what we want to ask God now, that it was given to us by God already through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not coming to God as beggars, as people who knock at His door for alms, but as sons and daughters of God, as His housemaids, as His inheritance, as His blood-bought flock. In this assurance of faith, we want today start this service today by prayer. Never before so many prayer requests were given before a service and mentioned as this afternoon. And I know that a number of brothers and sisters are here this afternoon who have a very special trouble upon their heart. And we bear everything together. Your trouble is our trouble. Your joy is our joy. Your sorrow is our sorrow. We have everything in common.
Lasst uns doch so füreinander und miteinander empfinden.
Let us feel with one another and for one another, as it is written, as members of one body. When one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. And the close relationship which God has worked among his own lets us have an innermost compassion for one another. And so today, we not only want to bring our own petitions, but also the troubles and the petitions of all the others together, bringing them into the presence of our God. And this in full confidence and by faith. Let us stand up for it. Lord our God, Creator of the heaven and the earth, you alone, true God, you the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you who have spoken to all the prophets, and until this very day, you kept your word, and you revealed it unto us. You are the living God and the faithful God. To you we are coming with everything what grieves and oppresses us and all the others. O Lord, we are coming to you and we ask you, help us this afternoon. Lord, may this service be so as the meetings which you held when you walked this earth. Lord, may all by faith come to you, calling upon your name, receiving your help. May not one be amongst us who lets your speaking and working bypass him. Lord, we place this meeting under the purifying power of the blood of the Lamb and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Take full possession of all of us. Give grace to speak and grace to hear. May not only those who are gathered here now, but all who will hear this sermon and this service somewhere. Lord, bless them and be with them. May also they experience your help and presence. Glorify thy holy name and confirm thy word by signs and miracles following. Praise, honor, and glory be to your name. Amen.
Du bist würdig, o Herr. Wir heben die Hände und singen es noch einmal.
We raise our hands and sing it again.
Du bist würdig.
Thou art worthy.
Du
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, and glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us also sing 544. When time shall be no more.
Lasst uns doch mit Ernst bedenken jenes Tages Wichtigkeit und mit heilgem Eifer folgen Gottes Wort, dass wir freudig flehen können, komme bald, ich bin bereit, wenn der Herr die Seinen rufet, bin ich dort. Wenn der Herr die Seinen rufet, wenn der Herr rufet, wenn der Herr die Seinen rufet, durch die Gnade mein, ich dort. Dank sei dem Herrn.
Thanks be to the Lord. That we can have this assurance of faith in our hearts, that we can say, by the grace of my Savior, I will be there. I would be interested in to know how many of you have the assurance in their hearts to have received forgiveness of their sins, the assurance to have become a possession of the Lord and to have received eternal life. Just say amen to it. And all who can probably not say it yet, friends, may God use this meeting for it, to speak to you. And when God speaks, then not to our heads, not that we have issues to discuss about something, but God speaks to our hearts. In the heart, it is not discussed. In the heart, it is being believed what God has said. This is the difference between those who want to understand God with their intellect and between those who can believe with all their hearts. Blessed is he who can believe what God has said in his word. This day is for me, and I would like to say, and I hope for all of us, a festive day, a special day, because I and many of us, we remember with gratitude to the first meeting which we had in Switzerland many years ago in this hall. It was the beginning to, so to say, a worldwide spreading of the divine message of his revealed word in this time. You all know that God has given us the grace, the ministry which he ordained for this time, to recognize it. And I would like that all really understand that it's not about to bring out one of the servants of God in a special way, neither a Moses nor an Abraham, an Isaiah or an Elijah, neither a Paul nor a Peter. And I may include our beloved brother Branham into the category of those who walked over this earth with a direct divine commission and who spoke in the name of the Lord, and that what they said, it happened. It was confirmed by God and it was legitimized. If we sometimes mention this name, the name through whom God has spoken in our time, then not to emphasize him or to bring him out, but only for the reason that we gratefully recognize what God has done in our time. We're not following any man, but the Lord, who redeemed us, and who has sent his servants and prophets at all times to touch God's people in their consciousness and to bring them back unto the way of God. Today, we have a day of remembrance, and I say it once again, I look back with gratefulness to the past years, the most fruitful years of sowing were from 68 to 78, during the 10 years where we had the radio program via Radio Luxembourg to, so to say, look after the German-speaking countries, not only West, but also Eastern Europe. And Brother Schmidt sits here from Krefeld. He knows the brother who told us, I think it was Brother Jans who told us, that there in Kazakhstan, he recorded the sermons on tape, which were broadcasted via Radio Luxembourg, and that they were played to many. The sowing took place, and the harvest will also be there. Don't you worry. The harvest was not yet brought in. We are standing shortly before it to receive the command of the Lord to bring in the harvest. And so, I also, you, who you are here today, and all those who cannot be here, who have sent their greetings and their wishes of blessings, and also Brother Rus and the local church from Krefeld and many others, they gave me wishes of blessings and greetings to all who would be here today. Many remember us in this hour during this service. When they hear the tape afterward, we want that they know that also we have remembered them in a close relationship of heart and gratefulness, that we know what God has done. Today, I could give you a report of that, what happened throughout all these years. You all know, I had the grace to be in exactly 72 countries of the earth, personally. to bring the precious and holy word. And if I today, at this place, say that I didn't spare myself in no way, I didn't treat myself with care, but by translation work, by radio programs, by the correspondence, by all the journeys which I had, I gave all I had for the matter of God. And I'm grateful to the Lord for it, that he has taken me, a miserable, useless, unprofitable man, taking me to proclaim his precious, infallible, everlasting word of God to you who you made this possible, that this work of God, and I say on purpose, work of God, it's not a denomination, it's not a religious direction which God has called into existence, but we are reaching the end of the time of grace, the completion of the New Testament church, which will appear without spot and wrinkle before the Lord. And to it, a washing of water by the word was necessary. And God has given us a bath in his word by his grace to wash everything away what is not in conformity with his word. We will briefly go into the Holy Scripture. I may not forget to give you special greetings from Dr. Guggenbühl. Brother Guggenbühl was that man who at that time arranged the meetings for Brother Branham in Switzerland and also in Germany. He was the one who was ready to take the consequences for it, to make everything possible during that time. And we want to remember him in a special way. When he now reads the sermons of Brother Branham, may God speak to him in such a way that he not just reads, but that he also understands what he reads. The eunuch was reading in the prophet Isaiah. And a man of God by the name of Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I understand if nobody guides me?" And the man of God opened the mouth and he started on the word which the man was reading, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ unto him, our Lord. Beloved, this happened in our time. God has sent a prophetic ministry. There is an evangelistic part, a teaching part, and a prophetic part in the plan of salvation in the church of the New Testament. And we are living now at the end, in this prophetic age, in the days in which Bible prophecies are being fulfilled. Let me read a couple of scriptures and by God's help to say something to it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, There shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Today we have a special day. Let us call it a festive day with God. The people of Israel should celebrate the Day of Atonement as a special festive day in the presence of God. Without the reconciliation through Jesus Christ our Lord, we would not be here today at all. And there would be no gospel, no forgiveness, no grace, and no eternal life. The reconciliation through the cross and the crucified one, we consciously place into the center of our proclamation. He who received the reconciliation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he may today with us celebrate a festive day with our God. And this festive day concentrates on Calvary. Without Calvary, everything would not have been possible. A festive day, the day of reconciliation, was a festive day, a holy convocation. When Christ on the cross of Calvary died, there was reproach and mockery around him. But all our chastisement was laid upon him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Beloved, this we should always keep clearly in mind, what God has done for us. Then we read from Psalms 33, from verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Already in the Old Testament, the men of God, by the Holy Spirit, they spoke and wrote about that what God would do. They were inspired. They proclaimed the plan of salvation, the counsel of our God, in advance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we, as at the time of Elijah, we may say, the Lord is God, the Lord alone, and no one else. God revealed himself to us by his grace. And yesterday, I mentioned already the thought that we are not living in the times of knowledge, but in the time of the divine revelation of his word and of his will. From the days of Reformation, God has given the biblical doctrines. Yes, the knowledges he has given. And for this we are grateful. And we rejoice with all those who at their time had the grace to hear what was preached unto them. It's written in Matthew 13 that the Lord spoke to the multitudes in parables. And then he turned himself to his disciples. He took them aside and said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The multitudes heard parables. Also these were speakings of the Lord. The Lord spoke these parables. But in the parables, the thing itself was veiled in and hidden. Until today, the people interpret still the parables. But the Lord has opened our eyes for it, that it's no more about an interpretation of that what is written, but about the revelation of the Word of God, about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whoever has read the last book of the Bible already, he will know it starts with the word revelation. The only verse in all of the Bible, in the 66 books, starts with a striking word revelation. All the other verses, of which there are many in all the chapters and books of the Old and of the New Testament, they have at the beginning another word. The last book, the first chapter in the last book starts with the word revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We are living in a time of divine revelation of his word and of his will. And many times in the sermons of Brother Branham, we heard and read that everything in the kingdom of God is built upon revelation. Jesus Christ himself is the revelation of God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. It began with the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it ends with the divine revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we as children of God recognize this and place ourselves on the ground of divine revelation, then we also will not just be spectators, but partakers of that what God promised and what He's doing now. Beloved, God has sent a message as the last call, as the last speaking of God, to reveal the last mysteries of the plan of salvation. And all to whom God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, they will hear these mysteries and they will believe them in their hearts, and God will make it a living revelation by the Spirit. This is the sum of all of it. I repeat, God sends His Word not to give us subjects of discussions. He doesn't send His Word that we talk it down. He sends His Word and makes us well. He sends His Word to show us in what time we are living. Let us hear what Paul has to say about revelation. He used this word many times. I just would like to read Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we believe in the gospel which has Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, as the center. And if we recognize Jesus Christ as the revelation of God for our salvation, and when He can reveal Himself to us, then we will really see the salvation of our God. Then on the inside we will be touched and we become partakers of the divine nature. Many want to become partakers of the divine nature, and they make even efforts for it. They do their best. But do you know what kind of way the Holy Scripture shows us for it? I read it to you from 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now it comes. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The forgiveness of our sin and guilt. In fact, all of the work of redemption is in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. It took place. But there's the need of the seed of the divine word and of the working of the Holy Spirit to work a new life in the man who received forgiveness and redemption by faith, to work a new nature and to make him a partaker of the divine nature. Christ, by the new birth, must take shape in your and my heart. Here, we are told that we were given the exceeding great and precious promises to escape all that, and that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Also about this we spoke. The prophets of God were people like we, and nevertheless our Lord says in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 that those to whom the word of God was addressed, that they were called sons of the Most High. The word of God came as the divine substance in their natural life, and their soul was penetrated by the Spirit of God and by the life of God, which is in the word. And they had part in the divine nature. Do you know that our Lord also gives information about that in the Gospel of John, and just briefly he says there, about which we probably would speak many words. Let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" And now comes the verse. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The word of our God is spirit and life. Spirit of God, life of God, eternal life. And those to whom the word of the Lord was addressed freshly, they of course could experience it and they could testify of it. And nevertheless, I dare to say that we as believers must be in the condition in the meeting that God's word, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, strikes our heart, that we feel like those to whom God's word was addressed at that time. And I tell you, they will hardly could have stand or sit there. The word of the Lord had not only a natural, but also a spiritual impact on them. Beloved, do we actually expect under the preaching of the Word of God that God reveals Himself to us personally? Most expect the blessing after the meeting. The best it is if we come in and from the beginning until the end, that we let ourselves be blessed. God's word accomplishes for what it was sent for. On the prophets, who of course prophesied of the grace and who were searching what would be the time, it also accomplished for what it was sent for. How much more now, after Calvary, after Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, as the fulfillment of all of Bible prophecies, brought us salvation. How much more the Word of God will now accomplish for what it was sent for. In the blood-bought flock, who of course joined the covenant with God, we are the New Testament covenant people of our God. His word, His life, His spirit, everything shall be in us by His grace. His disciples, and this makes us sad, they murmured at what He said. In verse 41, it says, the Jews then murmured at Him. This we can still understand. But then, when it is being said in verse 61, that His disciples murmured at it, then this makes us very sad. When the unbelievers or the Christians by name murmur at that what the Lord spoke and revealed. All right, then they didn't understand it. Then the Lord didn't speak to them at all. This we can understand. But when it is written that His disciples murmured at it and they saw it as an offense, this made our Lord very sad. And He made it clear to His disciples that it's not about the human understanding in the kingdom of God, and that His words are not on our level, but, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, spiritual things must be discerned spiritually. And in the kingdom of God, it's not about natural things, but about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is truly not in eating and drinking, as it is written, but in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our Lord gives the answer to His disciples. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now it comes. Pay attention what the Lord says in the next verse. But there are some of you that believe not. Here, the words fail us. Addressed to his disciples, whom he called, whom he loved, who followed him, he says, but there are some of you, among you, not outside, not in the world, not among the Jews or the nations, but there are some of you that believe not. Beloved, we are entering the final phase of the end time. And it is important not just to believe 90% of the revealed word. It's about that point which you don't want to swallow. This is the pill and this is the medicine which we right now need. Exactly that, what we don't want to take, exactly that we must take to be made well. I don't know whether you understand this right now, but the Spirit of God lets us know today that the Lord already then looked over his disciples and made the sad statement, but there are some of you who believe not. Many years they followed the Lord. They've seen everything, how he multiplied the bread, how he healed the blind, and how he did great miracles. Now it came to the deep things of the word. Now came revelation, and they were offended, and they believed not. The Lord was sad about it. Beloved, may in no one of us be found a heart of unbelief, as it is written in the Epistle to the Hebrews, but that we all could believe as the scripture says. Not as you and I understand it, but as the scripture has said it. And God spoke very clearly for all who are ready to keep quiet and to receive God's speaking in themselves. We are living in the days of the divine revelation. And it is written that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound his trumpet, then the mystery of God is finished, as he declared it unto his servants, the prophets. These are days in which the Son of Man revealed himself in the way that he put the prophetic ministry, the scriptural prophecies for this time upon the lampstand, so that the children of God receive teaching from God. Also, this is written in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 28, the following is written. Isaiah 28, here it is written, from verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. You all know this word, not just from today, but already since a long time. In the past centuries, the people were told, do this and do that, and so forth. Always there were rules and regulations. The people kept them, and all who put their trust in God, they will be saved by His grace. Today it's no more about do this and do that, here a bit and there a little, but today it is about the full and final revelation of Jesus Christ, about the revelation of God, of His Word, and of His will in His church. Without the church, God cannot complete His plan. He needs the church, of which, of course, the male child, the overcomers, are born from. As He needed Mary then to, through her, bring forth the Son of God into this world. What happened then? Mary received the promise for that time, and the Holy Ghost came upon her. And therefore it says, the Holy One born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. We believe the promise of God for this time, and the same Holy Spirit comes upon us, and something divine is born in us. Not by flesh and blood, not by our doings, but by the intervention of our God. Then it says in the same Isaiah 28, it is written in verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ is this tried stone, the precious cornerstone, which was always rejected by the builders. They didn't know where it belongs. But in the last days, we not only recognized the humanity of Jesus Christ, but also His divinity. He was man, He was God, manifested in a human shape. He could say, he who sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one. At this, some were again offended, but they were appointed to it. We cannot change anything about it. Our Lord says, blessed is he who is not offended at me. Beloved, we could today still read a number of scriptures, but we don't have the time for it. There's planned a short dedication of a couple, and therefore we must, with this part, we must come to the end now. Let us summarize it once again. In the past ages, it was about biblical knowledge. People were led also from clarity to clarity. There's no doubt about it. But we are living at the end of the time of grace. Not here a little and there a bit, but full revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and full revelation of Jesus Christ in and through the church. For thus, Brother Branham says it at one place, the fullness of God was poured out into Christ, and the fullness of Christ was poured out by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the church. And I believe that all of us, we shall hold fast to it, that God has not only given us His revealed word, but that He is about to pour out His Spirit to bring forth the word as a reality, as a confirmed reality by the church, not through your and my efforts, but by believing God perfectly, being available for Him so that He can manifest Himself. And I think here we are all addressed, and nobody can say, if God wants to do something, then He shall do it through the brother. No, we are the body of the Lord, the church. And if God does something, then He wants to do it through the members of His body. And I think that under the preaching of the word, that we understood so much, that all things which the Lord has spoken and which He revealed, that we believe them with all our hearts, that not one would be found among us to whom it should be applied. There are some of you who believe not among His disciples. And if I may remember in closing the ministry, the blessed ministry of Brother Branham, during the days of his evangelizations, it were hundreds of thousands who were coming together from all the nations. There were multitudes who came to be blessed and to be healed. When then the second phase came with the teaching, when the biblical truths, Godhead, water baptism, Lord's Supper, and everything what goes with it, from the fall up to the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, when this came, then many left Him and followed the Lord no more. Then, since the opening of the seven seals in March 1963, after the Lord descended in the cloud on the 28th of February 1963, and when the voice told him, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. When the ministry of Brother Branham made this divine turnaround to the prophetic revelations and to the deep mysteries of the will and of the word of God, then even more left him. And you can travel around the earth and one hears everywhere the same. Great, famous evangelists, of course, are spreading it with great power, and they say, yeah, Brother Branham was the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. But, and now comes the but, in his last years, he deviated. This is the language of the great evangelists. Perhaps he deviated of the general trend and route which mankind wanted and walked. But it was the hour of God. And we are grateful that the hour of God has come. This was a turnaround for all of the people of God. And they stumbled at it because they were not ready to walk in the light of the revealed word. Therefore, they walked in darkness and they stumbled in unbelief at the word and they fell over it. That what was many given to fall was given to many to stand up and to rise. It can be the same step over which a blind one falls, and one who sees uses it to get higher. Oh, put me on higher ground, as the songwriter sings, upon the platform of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And they are all treasures of the divine wisdom hidden in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you ever were grateful to God for this God-given ministry, then be it today. Must one stand here in the front after so many years and asking the people to say thanks to God who have heard the voice of his word year in, year out? Or should in our hearts break forth a fountain which praises the living God, thanking him from the depth of our soul? Beloved, God has done great things, and that over which other people stumble and about which they get crazy and that they cannot believe, about this we raise and stand up. We are corrected with it and we are edified on the most holy ground of faith. We may enter the Holy of Holies, seeing the Ark of the Covenant open, and the Word of our God is Spirit and life in all who believe the message of God for this time. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord our God, who is exalted and which name is above every name, now and forever. Be thanksgiving to our God for the revelation of his word and of his will in this time, with all our hearts. Amen. Let us stand up for it. Let us together say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise God. Thanks be to the Lord who has spoken with us. His word is spirit and life. We thank you, faithful Lord, and we ask you, watch over all of us and be with us. Let no one be put to shame. Let us believe, believing with all our hearts what you have spoken. Then you will reveal it to us. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. You have given us the revelation of Jesus Christ by your grace. And with him, all of the revelation of the word and of the will of God. Lord, in this hour, on this day, at this place, I exalt and glorify your name. And I thank you for the thousands of people whom you saved, whom you led out, and whom you led into the truth. Lord, may you give now to this ministry now the necessary breakthrough, and by grace doing something new for the praise and for the honor of your name. We received your word. Make it a divine and living reality in our hearts, in our lives, and in the church. To you, O God, we thank you today, together with all our hearts, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless all over the earth, in east and west, in south and north, and call the last ones out. I thank you for the open doors and for the unlimited possibilities which you have given in our days. I thank you also for all my brothers and for all my sisters. Bless them. Receive them and be with them all by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh God.
Seine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Seine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Und noch einmal von ganzem Herzen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Seine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Du bist würdig,
Du bist würdig, du bist würdig, o Herr, hinzunehmen Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr. Amen.